is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Royal Star Assurance, Bamboo Shack, and Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I hope you are doing well. Today, if you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or 325-4259, that's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043, 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. And she said, you all had a cracking right up yesterday. With all of those discussions about Bahamians and so forth. And even after the show, we had a great laugh on some of your comments. You can also get us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So I had an opportunity to listen to Mr. Michael Pintar, the leader of the opposition, the leader of the Free National Movement, the member of parliament from Marco City, on Juan McCartney's show. I thought he handled himself quite well. Some of the comments that I heard from folk made me think it would be useful to share some things which were a little consistent with some of the things that I want to share on this and succeeding shows. And so I thought it was an opportune time to do just that. So if you want to share your thoughts or ask any questions, et cetera, please feel free to do so. I have my own self been a part of the frontline political machinery, in the instance of my life, the Free National Movement. And so I have participated in four general elections as a candidate. I won two of those elections, became a member of parliament. So I know what it is like to win the government, and I know what it's like to lose the government and therefore become a member of the opposition following an election defeat. And every election in this country, I mean, every single time, once the election is over, if the Progressive Liberal Party loses and becomes the opposition, members of the public, most especially those who are against the Progressive Liberal Party, say, you all should go away and just shut up. That's what they say. They say, it's too early for you all. People don't want to hear from you all. Then if you're the Free National Movement and you become the opposition, they say the same thing. The wise people say, especially if they are against the Free National Movement, ain't nobody want to hear from you. Y'all should just shut up and go away. Now, the reason why I'm raising this is to say to such people, you are ignorant about the governance of our country. Let me say this in plain, simple English. If that is your view, if that is what you are saying, especially to the official opposition, one, you are ignorant, meaning you don't know how our governance system should function. Two, you have no interest in the good governance of your country, or you are too uninformed to know what is in the interest of good governance in the country. And three, you are doing a disservice to yourself and your country. Let me say it in a way where I make sure you understand what I'm saying. If you are a person approaching Mr. Michael Pintard now as the leader of the opposition, who was previously a minister in the Menace administration, and you are saying to him, nobody really want to hear from you all. I didn't really hear from you all. You didn't speak up here. You didn't speak up there. So why we should hear you now? You are, one, ignorant of how governance in the country should work. Two, you are uninformed or disinterested in the good governance of the country. And three, you are doing a disservice to yourself and to your country. If you said the same thing when Brave Davis and those became the opposition following upon their defeat, you would be in the same position, ignorant, uninformed, and doing a disservice to yourself and your country. Why would I say any such thing? Okay, let me tell you why. If you look at your own constitution, the supreme law of your land, created by the founding fathers of our country, men like Sir Lyndon Pinley, Arthur D. Hanna, and these great men, Arthur Folks and those, if you look at the Constitution, it ascribes a role to the official opposition of the country. Okay? It determines the an official opposition. We cannot complete the populating of the parliament without an official opposition according to the constitution of the country. Without a leader of the opposition, we cannot populate the Senate because some members are appointed by the prime minister, some are appointed by the leader of the opposition, and some are appointed by the prime minister in consultation with the leader of the opposition. That is true for a number of appointments throughout the country, designated by the Constitution. The opposition has a formal and official role to play in the country, just like the government has a role to play in the country. So if you determine, Michael Pintard, you just was in government 3 months ago, 2 months ago, 4 months ago, shut up, nobody want to hear from you, you are being ignorant of your own constitution. You are being uninformed about the governance of your country. You are doing a disservice to yourself, because what you are essentially saying is, I do not wish to have any opposition to check, comment upon, evaluate the performance of the governing party for a period of time, so let them do whatever they want to do and, you know, shut your mouth. How silly is that? It is very silly. Not only is it silly, it's dangerous. Not only is this dangerous, it is absolutely ignorant. And it's ignorant when the FNM did it to the PLP. It's ignorant when the PLP did it to the FNM. It's just pure ignorance. I'm sorry if you were looking for a polite way for me to say it today. It's really just ignorance. It's not something we should be about. Now, it is true that when you now are in opposition, having been in government, you should expect people to assess what you say against what you did and how you performed, and to be able to criticize you and say, you know what? You had a different position then than you have now. That's fair commentary, if that is true. But shut up. Don't say nothing. Nobody want to hear from you. No, that ain't gonna fly. Secondly, again, this is to me a display of ignorance. Now, when I say ignorance, you may take it as an insult, and I don't intend it as an insult, but you could take it as, I mean, the word exists in the dictionary to designate, to connote, to denote the absence of knowledge, okay? So it is to me a display of ignorance when you comment on, okay, well, when Dr. Minnis said this or did this, I didn't hear from you. You didn't speak up. First of all, I mean, I don't know how many times I have to say this, right? But sometimes I find it a little sad that you have to say it often, because the evidence is so clear about it. If you are in a cabinet of the Bahamas, right? You are on a team, and a very sacred team. Okay? You serve at the pleasure of the prime minister of the country. He appoints you. If he says the most stupid thing on planet Earth, your job, your duty, is not to go in the public and say, the prime minister of the Bahamas said the most stupid thing on planet. Your job is to go to cabinet, or you call up your prime minister, you call a meeting with your prime minister, and you say, sir, that was one of the stupidest things that I have ever heard. Now, I have never had occasion to say to Hubert Alexander Ingram, in whose cabinet I served, that you said anything stupid. But he said some things I certainly disagreed with, and I can tell you, he could confirm, I marched to his office, and I told him, Prime Minister, I do not agree with that. I think that that was an ill-informed comment that you made. But why would I come out and say that publicly to you? That defies every single thing even you behave like in your own life. Because you don't run out there and tell the world, you child, me and my wife just had a big blow up. Me and my husband just had a big blow up. Me and my partners just had a big blow up. Boy, me and my boss just had a big blow up. You shut your mouth tight for a reason. Now, if the thing that is done by your prime minister is so fundamentally egregious to you, you don't have to go out there and shout it and say anything about it. You do the honorable thing. You resign first. And then you could go out and tell them why you resign and your disagreement. But if you can stay in the cabinet, it is absolutely ignorant to expect any Michael Pinta, Jeff Lloyd, or anybody like that, having disagreed with Dr. Minister, come out and say, I'm going to tell you all why I disagree with him. After they leave office, you are now saying, I didn't hear from you. That is absolutely naive. Grow up, enter the real world, and see life as it is. And don't be a hypocrite about it, because you don't act that way. As many things egregiously as Donald Trump did, you did not hear any sitting secretary of anything go out and publicly criticize him. When they did criticize him, they had left office. They wrote some book or resigned or like that, but you did not see anyone coming out and simply bashing, disagreeing with Donald Trump, no matter how egregious it was. You didn't see it happen to Boris Johnson or anybody else on planet Earth you didn't typically see it happen to, because it is just not the way it works. So Mr. Bentard has that, any effort at somebody to try and criticize him for that is just an effort rooted in naivety, period. Not knowing how things function in your country, and I would suggest in the world. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
With all that's going on in the world, we could all use a little more kindness. Babushak encourages you to join us as we spread and share kindness this holiday season. A kind word or gesture, checking on a friend or loved one, helping a family in need. The little things go a long way. Kindness changes everything. So be an agent of hope. Visit www.bekindbahamas.org and Be Kind Bahamas on social media for updates. Babushak reminds you that a better Bahamas begins with you.
Start the year making all the right money moves. Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
The lady run into me, mash the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with a RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96 PM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call at all on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, we can be, when we are in our political partisan mode, when we are in our mode to try and score points, we can say such incredibly unaware things. If you are a politician, and you know who is my prime example of this? Prime example of this. Fred Mitchell, the Honorable. Let me tell you what I mean. Fred Mitchell knows that he is a committed and dedicated politician. He knows that. Fred Mitchell has said, don't ask me about anything else because that's what I want to do. This is what I'm doing. And when he is in office, he is a committed and dedicated politician. When he is out of office, he is a committed and dedicated politician. And the fact that he lost an election means nothing to him. All it means is that his role now is, as a politician, is different. And he carries on with business as usual in his new role. Why would he do that? Because he is a sensible man who understands that governance doesn't end because someone loses. Who understands that this is my calling, this is my job, this is what I do, therefore, I can't pretend to be the Minister of Foreign Affairs anymore. I just need to be the senator who is the opposition, and in the instance of Fred Mitchell, the chairman of the PLP. And on the second day, if there's an issue to be commented upon, he comments upon it, and that is how it should be done. And he defies all the ignorant statements he hears from people. Ain't nobody want to hear from y'all. You just lose office. He defies it all because he's a smart politician who understands how the country works. That's why he understands. I was out 5 years ago and I'm in 5 years now. I was out 5 years later and I'm in 5 years now, because that's the way governance goes in a democracy. Don't shut up, be quiet, it's nonsense. That is so ignorant. That would be like, because something happened and you didn't say anything about a fire the time before, there's a fire now in a place you are, and the people tell you, well, you didn't say anything before, shut your mouth, anybody won't hear you say nothing but fire. How stupid could you be to say something like that? It's ignorant. It would be like you get fired from one basketball team and you go on another basketball team, and the basketball team tells you, listen, we don't want to hear from you because you got fired from the last basketball team. How ignorant is that? You have gifts and talents of mine to be used in the service of the country. Why would you quench that? Now you have to own up and face all the criticisms of anything you did in the past, et cetera. That's fair game. Criticize as hard as you wish. But let's be reasonable. Let's be intelligent about these things. Let's be smart. And most of all, let's be people of patriots. Let's be patriots in the country. Right? Don't let's cut off our noses to spite our faces. Could you imagine a man as talented as Fred Mitchell deciding to just go and be quiet and don't offer anything to the country? Could you imagine a person like Michael Pintard just being quiet and don't offer nothing to the country, no commentary to the country, because he lost? What kind of stamina and spirit or soul you could have to just go and fade off away? It's nonsense. Now, if you decide to do something different, if you decide, okay, I'm out of politics, I'm not going to participate that way, that's a different story. You know, you can go quietly about your business and make your contribution in other ways. But if you stay in, especially if you, they make Michael Pintard the leader of the pre-national movement and the leader of the opposition, and you want him to don't say nothing. You want him to curb his words because he sees something egregious, and you think because you think something egregious was done in an administration he was in, you don't want him to speak about the egregious thing? Could you so hate yourself that you would want somebody not to warn you about something being done to you because you thought that they didn't do something different? You would. That's absolutely ignorant, and you wouldn't do it to your own self. Wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. You let somebody, you ask somebody for $100 some time ago, and they didn't give it to you, and you build up a courage enough to ask them for $1,000, and they offered you, you say, no, I ain't want that because you ain't give me the $100 last time. You know you wouldn't do that. So, you know, catch yourself. Catch yourself. Let's wake up and grow up in the country so that we could move the country forward, man. All right. We have a couple of texts here. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I would, for the most part, disagree with you that they don't understand how the system of governance works. They just want to continue to smudge person's character by attempting to throw mud on a party or person. The main attempt is to attempt to cut your legs off early. That's my belief. Okay, all right. I try to be more generous about it. This is you're ascribing malicious intent to them. And so, okay, I mean, I can't argue with that. That is quite possible, quite possible. This text says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. Fred Mitchell actually did make that same ignorant statement you're talking about. He told someone in the opposition said they need to shut up. That's why they in the position they are in now, and that's why they are the opposition. I ain't making this up, Mr. Lang, but great show. No, I'm not suggesting if Fred Mitchell said that, he's just as ignorant if he said that too, or malicious, as somebody else saying, right? It's something different. I'm saying you cannot get Fred Mitchell to shut up because he lost an election. That's my point. Because he knows he is a politician. I'm not saying he wouldn't have and take the same position. Not at all. You may be quite right. I didn't hear him do it. But I'm saying this brother loses today. Until tonight, if something happens, you will hear his voice. And that's as it should be. That's my point. It is as it should be. If you're going to stay in the political game, you should continue to voice your concerns and continue to cry wolf when you see something untoward. You should continue to press for better in the country. And quite frankly, Michael Pintard is a breath of fresh air. Quite frankly, Michael Pintard in combination with Brave Davis on the political scene in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is a breath of fresh air, okay? Because you have two people who, mind you, let me say, I think that Hubert Ingram and Perry Christie got caustically antagonistically with each other, against each other. I think they had operatives who were more tribal, agents who were more tribal. But while they sparred with each other as they ought to, they were not discourteous to each other. They were not, disrespectful to each other at all. That was my experience being as I was on the front line observing them interact. So, but Michael Pintard and Mr. Davis, I haven't seen this in the tone that they have. They are certainly more civil, less caustic and politically sharp than even Mr. Ingram and Mr. Christie would have been, even though I can't fault those two men for the way they interacted with each other. But Michael Pintard is himself really a gracious soul. I don't want you all to sleep. If you see Mr. Pintard has to take a sword out, it could be very sharp, right? Don't mind it. He in private, in all my interactions with him, he makes a very good attempt to be conciliatory, to be respectful. Michael Pintard actually, to me, manifests that kind of gentlemanness in his interaction with people. If you want to learn, to my mind, from what I have seen in many instances, I don't get me wrong, I know Michael, he can be, if he gets hot, you can get it. But on an ongoing, ordinary basis, he's quite socially intelligent and knows how to interact with people so that they walk away from that interaction. Generally speaking, I'm not talking about when you attack him. If you attack him, you get to do. But generally speaking, when you leave the experience is generally a good one, right? And similarly with Mr. Davis. So they bring some positives to our governance platform today. And so we'll have to see how that plays out. All right, this text says, you are 100% correct. Mr. Mitchell will not shut up for no one. Yep, it's true. Yeah, he won't. He won't. He's going to do his political business, and that's as it should be. This text says, compliments of the season to you and your family. All right, this is a different something. Okay, so good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Really looking forward to purchasing your first book when you write it. You are truly a blessing to our country in a way of keeping us up to date and informed on the reality of our country. Again, thank you, sir, for your positive information, especially on the political part. God bless you. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Very kind of you. This text says, to me, people that say shut up is like person that won't take good advice from a person that is no speak, even though the advice may very well be of great substance. I would consider that person that turned down that advice a fool. Again, I say preach, preach, preach. Thank you, brother. Say no lies. They are laugh out loud. Mike ain't easy. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. Michael Pintard is a fighter. He is a fighter. He's a gentleman, but boy, let me tell you something. He knows how to hold his own and stand up for himself. That's for sure. We're going to take another break, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host.
We could all use a list. Babu Shack encourages you to join us as we spread and share kindness this holiday season. A kind word or gesture, checking on a friend or loved one, helping a family in need. The little things go a long way. Kindness changes everything. So be an agent of hope. Visit www.bekindbahamas.org and Be Kind Bahamas on social media for updates. Babu Shack reminds you that a better Bahamas begins with you.
Start the year making all the right money moves. Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
I ain't marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video grip, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. The numbers to call us are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 34259. You can also text us at 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me at 439-3043. I wonder if Philip Brave Davis, who was the deputy leader of the Progressive Liberal Party and the deputy prime minister and minister of works in the Christie administration, I wonder if he had shut up, just closed down, went away after they suffered that humiliating loss at the polls. I wonder, listen to me, the loss was so humiliating that the sitting prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas lost a seat that he had held for more than 40 years. That's how agitated, angry, not only were opposition Bahamians, but PLP supporting Bahamians were of that administration. If Mr. Davis had said, I need to shut my mouth, go away, don't say nothing, wonder where he would be today. Remember, after that defeat, he became the leader of the opposition and the leader of the Progressive Liberal Party. He had to get and stand up in the House of Assembly immediately and go, one, defend their term in office. And you criticized him. Remember when he said, well, I don't know anything about that, or I wasn't aware of this, et cetera. And how many times did you criticize him and say, oh, what you mean he didn't know he was the deputy prime minister, but he spoke? And he criticized the minister administration and he spoke. But today he's the prime minister of the Bahamas. The whole prime minister. Why? Because unless you quit, that's what you do. Carry on. In fact, I would tell you, some of y'all talking, y'all need to learn that lesson. No matter what life does to you, drop kick you, press on, bro. Move forward. We got a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Chicago.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Okay, good. Yeah, I don't normally call that often, but I normally listen quite often.
Okay, thanks.
I'm glad you put that. I'm glad you put that in its place, because I listen, and I hear all these guys who are so clearly ingrained in their politics, and they rant, they get on the radio, and they rant about this, and they rant about that, and a lot of times they really don't sit down and think beforehand what they want to say, and so therefore they end up running their mouth and just getting themselves right in hot water, talking foolishness and garbage, not really paying attention to what they're saying. So I'm glad you put them in their place.
When I listened to it, I just felt very strongly that as a pure matter of how we are governed, it was just, some of the things said was just quite inappropriate.
Yeah, I agree. It's really ridiculous, you know. Some of these people think they're educated, smart, guessing what to say. They really need to think before they really speak, because, like you said, you put them in this place well, and that's, you're quite capable of doing that. So.
I appreciate you calling, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. No problem.
Okay. Thank you, bro. The text here says, Mr. Lang, a Cat Island man, shut up. Good luck on that one, cause that won't happen. Well, if you can't shut up a Cat Island man like Gray Davis, you ain't gonna shut up a Cat Island man like Michael Pintard. Michael Pintard's roots is in Cat Island. So I wasn't concerned that you could shut Michael Pintard up, quite frankly. I know that he can speak for himself and he can defend himself, and he will not shut up. He will not do it because somebody says so. I just wanted us to understand how our governance works. And that's the takeaway. It's not a defense of Mr. Pintard. It's a defense of our governance system, which is that the Constitution ascribes a role to the opposition. Ascribes a role to the leader of the opposition. The leader of the opposition has official duties to perform. He doesn't take them duties on. He has been given that responsibility in the Constitution, not by a subordinate law, has been given it by the Constitution. And it is a serious position. The leader of the opposition is the alternate prime minister is. It is the assumption that in the event that the sitting leader, prime minister, loses confidence, the assumption is that that confidence might repose in the leader of the opposition. Might, right? That don't have to be the case, because you could have another person on the governing side with whom that reposes. But the way the Westminster system looks at it is that the leader of the opposition is the alternate prime minister. When he travels in the world, it is a recognition by countries that you are looking at the alternate prime minister. That is how it is observed. So this little cuteness that we could approach these leaders of the opposition with and feel so comfortable saying all kind of nonsense to them, it's just disrespectful to the, forget the person, the office is that of leader of Her Majesty's official opposition. And so that's the point that I wanted to really hammer home, is that anyone who wants that position to be ineffective is, one, ignorant of how our governance system works, is, two, naive about the role that office plays in the country, and three, harms himself and the country. This text says, you are on point, Mr. Lang. Some of these PLP chronic talk show callers don't have much common sense. The opposition party must speak people. DeWitt, Antoine, and Dave, and other diehard PLPs should be banned from these shows. I don't know, but Antoine, I didn't hear Antoine say anything to Mr. Pintard today that would be consistent with what I said. So I would not be talking to Antoine today. And as to DeWitt and whoever else, I don't know where they were among the people who called. This text says, hi, Mr. Lang. When cabinet has meetings, the vote on issues should not be secret because they are working on the behalf of the Bahamian people. Because of this secret culture, the Bahamians are obviously ignorant. The system needs to change to reflect where each member stands on any issue. That's nonsense. I'm sorry. It's nonsense what you're saying. Absolute nonsense. Total nonsense. Okay, it's just nonsense. It's not even just the Westminster system. You tell me how any cabinet has voted in the United Kingdom, how any cabinet has voted in the United States, how any cabinet has voted in Germany or Italy or France. When you're seeing it published anywhere, it's just nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Nonsense. But you're working on behalf of the Bahamian people. So is the police. And they do things secretly because it advances their investigations. The reason why, it isn't even the votes in cabinet that are secret, because that's nonsense. Why would you want to know Shivago said yes and then other people said no? How does that help you in the government? And that you can know, that's not secret. What the government decided is not secret. What is secret is the discussions that's happened in cabinet. Why should you need to know that I disagreed with something, that Mr. Ingram disagreed with something? That's irrelevant. What you need to know is what your government decided. Why is it secret? Because you want your ministers to be able to freely speak their minds and not have people go around saying, yes, that bugger who made this happen, or that divides the government. That's stupid. It's stupid. Okay, I'm sorry. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. What you need to know is what was decided. Right? In Parliament, you get votes all the time, but you don't have to know how people vote. You only get to know how an individual voted because, one, you could be watching the Parliament and you could see how they vote at a time, or there's something called a division. But how many times in this country prior to Mr. Ingram's government did you not know how your government voted? But you knew what they decided. The law was passed. That was published. You knew that. Then the cabinet decides, no, we will not join this or we will join that. You know that. That's what you want to know. You want to know the policy outcome. So I'm sorry. I disagree with you vehemently. You would kill proper discussions in a cabinet talking about we should know how everybody just voted and discussed it. Absolute nonsense. Nonsense. Please join the enlightened world about why this long-standing tradition has prevailed in almost every country in the world. This isn't brilliant to the Westminster system or to the Bahamas. It facilitates free, confident, open discussions. You need to be able to say to the Prime Minister, so I disagree with that. I don't think we should go that direction at all. And not have people say, oh, Charlie, you disagree with the Prime Minister, blah, blah, blah. Nonsense. Nonsense. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
Take a stand. Everybody. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together. Storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, send me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shibago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I know we had two callers hanging on the line just before we broke. So if you want to call back, the numbers are 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp us on 439-3043. This person, I want to say something to this person who said that when cabinet has meetings, the vote on issues should be not be secret. And here's what they said. They said the system needs to change to reflect. No, they said because of this secret culture, the Bahamians are obviously ignorant. Let me tell you something. You have no idea what you just said. Okay? Because that there is a role for the opposition in the country, and there's a role for the leader of the opposition in the country, is and has nothing to do with cabinet. It's in the Constitution, published on the internet. And the Constitution has been around since 1973. So if Bahamians are ignorant about that, it's because they didn't read it, not because the cabinet kept it a secret. See, a caller called and said, some of you, you text, you call, and you don't think before you actually write or say what you're saying. Okay? These things are in your constitution, in your laws. So if you didn't read it, I understand that. I can understand that. That has happened. That has happened to me. There's things I don't know. I certainly don't know. I haven't read them. All the laws, I haven't. But, you know, don't blame it on no cabinet secret. That one is absolutely untrue. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, caller on the line. Hey, what's up? Mr. Lang, what's up? Super Live.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Live. What's up?
I'm right here, my friend. What's happening?
Happy, healthy New Year.
Wait, same
you hot, baby. Wait, you hot?
No, man. Just passionate.
I thank God, like you on in South Africa and their parliament. No, like Manila, them, the EEF and the ANC. They're fighting their parliament.
Yeah.
They don't play. They see
it. Yeah, no question.
I was watching British Parliament too. I say, the opposition, they lose, but they fight too.
We had some almost fights in the Bahamas Parliament.
No, but I am very happy and proud of your boy. I mean, yeah, co-worker, Scoochie say, can you hear what the man say? But he'll say, but you know, I say when minutes run out on that one, you know what I mean?
I appreciate you calling, man. I appreciate you calling. Thanks a lot. All right. We have a text here, says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Happy New Year. Mr. Lang, I am glad you set the record straight today because I've heard even your colleagues at The Guardian say that they don't want to hear from the opposition. They also ask where were their voices on certain issues. I always thought it was either their bias or they simply don't know the role of the opposition. But you can let them know, Michael Pinta and the opposition will keep this government accountable. Now, let me also say, right, now, I have heard maybe some of my colleagues say that too, but they say that in jest. They say that as a way of saying, I can see it. I don't hear from you because X, and you know, so I don't defend it per se, but I'm saying I can see some of that. But I'm listening to the context of the callers I heard and the explanations they were trying to give intelligently to Mr. Bentad, and I just had a different point of view for sure. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Brother Lang, how you doing today?
Hey, good man, and how are you?
Doing great. Just like to say Happy New Year to you. First time I'm calling your show for from since the new year came in, and I must say that I'm quite...
Happy New Year, man.
Yeah, I'm quite impressed with the conversation thus far that you're having today, especially where you gave the definition for ignorant and ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
That definition was spot on. I'd like, just like the public to take a couple of things into consideration here. Firstly, a parliament without an active, strong opposition is almost like a parliament. You might as well don't have a parliament at all. For persons out there to say that they don't want to hear from members of the opposition, that is one of the most ignorant statements that one can ever utter. Because here it is, you need a chamber that reduced for the opposition. You still need to hear the dissenting voices in order to actually appreciate how they're operating and taking care of our affairs. So it's very important to have an opposition, even though it is a party that may have just lost the election. Their voices are just as important as the governing party. The other strong point to make here is that to even dismiss the opposition, remember that the opposition sitting in parliament is also a part of the government. It's just that the PLP is the governing portion of government. But the opposition, their part that they're playing in parliament is equally as important as the governing party. So we need to stop this foolishness about trying to dismiss the opposition.
Yes, any opposition, FNM, PLP, DNA, any.
And that is what happened over the decades, because guess what? Last time we had a huge opposition with the FNM, and then the time before that you had a huge, you had a small opposition with the PLP when the FNM was in, and by landslide, and vice versa, you had a small opposition with the PLP when the FNM was in, and a strong and a least opposition when the FNM won and the PLP gained power. So we have to become very matured in this country in terms of politics. And my last point here, Brother Lang, I think it's about time that we understand that the Bahamian people, the race enemies, we have seen, I don't know of any party that ever entered government, whether it's here in the Bahamas or anywhere around the world, that has been a perfect government or perfect party. There's always going to be things that they did right and things that they have done wrong. And you would hope that the Bahamian people in this context would understand that the party that they put in power, if they had done things wrong, and you don't stand up and tell them about the things that they do wrong and just write it off as if everything they did is right, that is a very dangerous road to travel. It's the road to tyranny. Thank you for taking my call, Shivago.
Thank you. Appreciate your calling, man. You're spot on with that. I appreciate you calling. This text says, Mr. Lang, can you explain, as your time serving our country as an MP, is it customary that every MP has meetings with their constituents about ways to better their community and bring that to the House of Assembly for approval? Hope I'm saying it right. Should they always check with their constituents for first? Just asking. Quick question. Let me get this call and then we'll go from here. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, Mr. Lang. Happy New Year to you.
Hi, how you doing?
Yes, good. In reference to, I heard, I listened to when you read the text about these certain PLP callers, they should not, and they used to, I don't know if they used the word, one negative word they used. You know, it's wrong to do that, to say that, because there seems to be an issue. When you have persons from the PLP call the shows and they say whatever they say, once it's with respect. Now, if they're out of order, they're out of order. But to say malign a person and then use the word calling the people or whatever ignorant or whatever the word they use, right? Describing these when they should be banned from the show, okay, from calling in. You know, you might as well put a banner in front of the station and said, well, no PLP callers or no PLPs allowed. That's discrimination. If, you know, if you can't take...
But honestly, I've heard PLPs make comments about FNMs on this and other shows like that too, and then FNMs may make such comments, or anybody.
Yeah,
let's just hear me out. That's people saying that. You don't have to tell this station that, because we're not, there's not a possible chance. If somebody's a PLP, they can call the show and we're not going to let them speak.
Yeah, but people, you're right. Exactly right. It's wrong to say, because when, and it seems to be, and for years I've been hearing it, some people have this meant that because you are or you support the PLP, that there's something wrong with your hair or you're stupid.
Well, honestly, my friend, you might be a little sensitive on that score, because listen, as somebody who's serving the FNM, I could tell you what I have heard from FNMs.
And the thing
From PLPs.
About FNMs, right?
No, but I've heard from PLPs about FNMs.
Right.
As a matter of fact, let me tell you this. Ooh. My mother was a very avid PLP when I was younger. Ooh. She was such a strong PLP that when she left the PLP, Sir Lyndon said, not Nomi, that's how he referred to my mother, okay? Ooh. But I can tell you, at the time we were PLP, our family was PLP because I was too young, I was a child. The way FNMs were described as devilish, with this fire and stuff, I mean, come on. So, you know, you're going to have
I'm speaking about now. I'm speaking about now.
I'm saying the same thing happens
now. I'm saying is, it was wrong then.
I think...
The bottom line is the FNMs might have been ridiculed or whatever, but they won... They proved that they had enough, the people who voted at that time proved that they had enough sense to win the government, right? And now this time.
But so did the PLB.
And this government, right. This government, the persons who voted for them, which are majority, like they said, PLBs, they had enough sense to vote this government in. And I look forward to a strong, powerful opposition. Because without an opposition, a strong opposition, the governing party would be going and walking along and doing whatever they want to do and have free for everybody. So I honor a strong opposition.
Well, I don't think anybody thinks that at all. I mean, I know Brave Davis is a PLP. I don't think he's stupid. Fred Mitchell is a PLP. I don't think he's stupid. Venezana Martin is a PLP. I don't think she's stupid. Melanie Griffin is PLP. I don't think she's stupid. I mean, come on. You have people who say things. They get hot. They say things. All I want to give you the assurance is on this show or any show on Guardian, we do not discriminate against PLPs calling or saying, speaking their minds. FNMs either. Okay? All right. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller.
A pleasant good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hey, how you doing, Spock?
Hope your family is doing well. You know, I think we are a young, growing country, and I think what I'm listening to is this hatred between the PLP and FNM down Bay Street, and we forgetting one thing, that what we've been going through lately with the hurricanes and this COVID and the ups and downs, we still are a small, most beautiful little nation in this world, and we need to put the country first instead of PLP or FNM's first. I mean, I'm a diehard PLP. I grew up in the valley. I know it's PLP, but I mean, most of my friends, I got FNMs. My friends who are FNMs now, who were all diehard. Most of the people in the FNM now used to be all diehard PLPs and came over before Mr. Ingram came over when Mr. Wallace Whitfield came over. But they were all PLPs when we went down Bay Street and took the government over for black majority rule. We just mingled among ourselves, got hatred between Tinlin and Mr. Wallace Whitfield, and then the dissident age went, and then people started with, when I was working to Deltec International back in the 70s, you couldn't tell all of Jeff Williams and all of Jeff Jordan and them anything about any UBP. They were all PLPs. In fact, all the Bahamas is a bunch of PLPs. We just
didn't get in the country
first.
But Sparky, no problem. People were PLPs, but when you change, you change. So I don't care what you was, what you is what matters
yeah,
most.
Yeah, like you said, your mother was a PLP, then she did FNM. But what I'm saying, like last election, everybody said, well, the reason the FNM didn't win because most of that people didn't show up to vote. We don't know who didn't show up to vote. The people who didn't show up to vote just didn't show up to vote. We don't know if they're PLPs or FNM. If you didn't vote, we don't know who you is. I was going to say.
Thanks, man. The vast majority of people who didn't show up to vote, vote FNM last time. I don't know that for sure, but I sure would put a good bet on that. You ask me that. You think those PLPs will stay home? The majority of them? Boy, not according to the survey, I do. But I hear you, Sparky. I hear you, brother. Oh, boy. We got a call here. We got a text here. Let me read that text. This is a person who had a question. I want to make sure I don't overlook the question. Right. Members of Parliament, listen, I think most members of Parliament, in my observation, don't have consistent constituency meetings. That's in my observation. But there are members of Parliament who do. It's not mandatory, no, it's not the law, but it just makes good sense to do so, to talk to your constituents and get thoughts from them. And you might not go to Parliament with the thoughts that your constituents express, but you might go to your parliamentary caucuses where they are deliberating or thinking about the laws that they want to pass and the things they want to do, and you could make your input there. You could mention it in Parliament too, right? But a good member of Parliament would have regular constituency meetings and would have regular office hours for constituents. That just makes purely good sense. This text says, Mr. Lang, one thing I never understood, how come if it's in the party and don't agree to something with the party, they are perceived to be against the party? I think that is also ignorant and stupid. Well, I mean, yeah, it might be perceived as ignorant and stupid, but it's human nature. It's human nature. Like, it isn't unusual for you to be in a group, and if you disagree with the group, for members of the group or some members of the group to feel like you are not with us. I mean, how many times you've watched television or programs and seen people go, well, why are you against us? You know, okay, let me give you an example. Jesus' disciples sees some other people casting out devils in the name of Jesus and say, Lord, look, they are not with us. And Jesus said, listen, but if they ain't against us, they're with us. So even Jesus' disciples had some thoughts like that. So that's not unusual for people to feel like, why you don't be with us, man? Why are you against us on this? If that's what they think the party's direction is and so forth. That's not ignorant. You know, that's a kind of reaction that people tend to have, wanting to use that ostracization to get you to come back in, to make you feel like a outlier so that you feel an alienated would come back in. It's a tool. It is doom. They tend to use ostracization to make you feel out there by yourself, and that puts pressure on you to come in. So I mean, you know, say, okay, cool, good explanation. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that it's not unusual. Now, if you start taking it to the point where you start condemning people and wanting to injure people and harm people, now you're stupid and ignorant and wicked. All right, enough of that, okay? So let me tell you something. I think that Omicron is one of the worst and good things about COVID that happened to us. Let me explain what I mean. It's good that Omicron is, as we now perceive it, understand it, not as virulent or not as dangerous, not as deadly as, say, the Delta virus. that's a great thing. Because if it was as communicable as it is now, as infectious as it is now, and was as deadly as Delta, oh my Lord, where would we be? Oh goodness, I shudder to think so. So that's that it is as infectious as it is, but as limited in its potency as it is, thank the Lord. That's a good thing. But it's one of, because that lack of potency is rocking some of us to sleep. Yes, sirree, Bob. That thing is cradling some of us and just kind of saying, go to sleep, baby boy, because, you know, you ain't as bad, you know what I mean? You ain't gonna kill as many people, and that's good. So let's just move on and carry on, and you know what I mean? Just woo do 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 do. You know what that's gonna do? This pandemic ain't over. And Omicron ain't the only mutation gonna be out there, and we can't be guaranteed that the next mutation ain't gonna be more deadly than Delta. But while we getting rocked to sleep by Omicron, child, all they doing is telling us for these next thing, all we do, boom, 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 we just gonna rock to sleep, rock to sleep, rock to sleep. We are going to probably unprepare ourselves for the next punch in our gut. The way to deal with an infectious disease is to deal with it like a disease and get rid of it. Try your best to get rid of it, to stop it in its track. That's how you stop the mutations. At least you limit them. You slow down it to be free to mutate. Do I think we should lock the country down? Absolutely not. Please. I don't think even with Delta we had to lock the country down. What we have to do though is if we don't want to lock the country down, we got to lock ourselves down. But what do I mean by that? If we want to be free to move about, if we do, let me tell you what my policy suggestion is for dealing with COVID-19 going forward, any variant of it. Here's my policy recommendation. First, well, I would describe it as in total SMART protocol. That's what it is, SMART protocol. And what do I mean by SMART? Our phones, our televisions, and other devices are regarded as smart because they have the ability to take information from their environments, use that information through some algorithm to retrofit itself for the user. So if it knows that you love to go to NBA games and scores, it isn't going to be too long before you see, as you scroll down, or pop-ups that says NBA, because it has learned that given the pattern of your search, NBA comes up frequently, it will give you that as an easy find. That's a smartphone. So SMART protocol is predicated on getting good information from the environment and using that good information to inform you about how to behave next. Now, it's predicated on good information. Now, here's the thing. You don't need all the information you know. I think even in respect of the pandemic, the 80-20 rule probably still applies, which is that 20% of the information is probably what we need to address 80% of the challenge of the protocol. So we have to identify what is the most salient information to predict, to forecast, to trend where the virus is going, what it is doing, what are the greatest challenges. We have to identify that 20% of information because it's out there. We don't need to know every, because we can get caught up in information overkill. We need to know what's the most potent 20% of protocols that actually mitigate 80% of the challenge of spread of the virus. We need to know what is that 20% of activity engaged in by us human beings here in the Bahamas or elsewhere that creates 80% of the challenges. And when we figure that out, we tackle them. That's it. What 20% of challenges creates the most 80% of the issues for educating our children in person? I don't want to hear no politicians' rendition of it. We got smart researchers out there. We got people doing things out there. Let's find it. Let's find the information and then use that 20% information to mitigate against 80% of our challenges in COVID-19. We don't have to shut nothing down. If we comply with the 20%, we'll impact ourselves 80%, and then we could move on. Like, I don't know if vaccination is one of the 20%. I don't know that. I suspect it may be. So we can look at vaccination. Whatever else there is, let's find it. Let's look at that. And let's then do that. But don't be rocked to sleep by Omicron. It is nonsense. Listen, do you know that there was a first virus? It was called Alpha. And then there was Beta. And then there was Gamma. And then there was Theta. And then there was Delta. You realize that, right? How many of you were concerned when you heard about Alpha and Beta and Gamma and Theta? None of you, nobody talks about those things. But guess what? You know why? Because they were not mashing up souls like we got to thinking with a Delta. But didn't Delta come? So you had less potent strains happen than you got Delta. Well, why? Because now you have Omicron, which is less potent. You think the next big thing, like more potent than Delta, ain't coming? How sensible is that? We shouldn't be lulled to sleep. We should not be. As long as this pandemic is around, we should be alert. This is not a plea to lock nothing down. That's a fallback position that so many people come as an argument. That's not an argument. Locking down ain't no argument. For me, I'm not locking down. No, we don't have to. Listen, let me tell you why I don't think you have to lock down. Because it is possible to operate in an environment, in an infectious environment, you know. Do you all know that there are laboratories in our world where mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts, grandmothers and grandfathers go every single day to work with some of the most potent pathogens on planet Earth? These people have in the laboratories every day they go to work, Ebola, AIDS, all these kinds of viruses, all every single day they work with these. Well, how the heck do they do that? And we are able to hear them go to work, come back, go home, their parents, their family don't get sick, they don't get sick. Why? Because they observe the protocols. Our doctors and our nurses, when we get sick with these pathogens and diseases, tuberculosis and malaria and all this kind of stuff, who do we go to? We go to our hospitals and they tend to us. Why don't they get sick? Because they observe the protocol, lockdown in order to avoid getting sick. No, you have to observe protocols. And so if we have smart protocols, again, protocols meaning we have the ability to acquire information that feeds to us adjustments in our behavior to accommodate the new information, then we can continuously respond appropriately to any threat of this disease. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
With all that's going on in the world, we could all Jack encourages you to join us as we spread and share kindness this holiday season. A kind word or gesture, checking on a friend or loved one, helping a family in need. The little things go a long way. Kindness changes everything. So be an agent of hope. Visit www.bekindbahamas.org and Be Kind Bahamas on social media for updates. Bamboo Shack reminds you that a better Bahamas begins with you.
Start the year making all the right money moves. Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Mo's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep. Sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. So glad you could join us today. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. This texter says, Florona is the virus I was telling you about. Yeah, I actually, after you had texted me about it, I did go and see some notes about it. I don't know what the status of Florona is at the moment, if it is in fact the virus or a virus, I don't know. My only point is that we can go fall asleep if we want. I hope the country doesn't fall asleep. I believe we can have schools in person, you know. I believe so. But let me tell you, I only believe that in theory. I only believe that in theory. Why do I only believe that in theory? Because in theory, it is conceivable that teachers and students could cooperate properly with protocols to be able to avoid children getting sick and going home and making their family members sick. In theory, that is true. But in the practice that I am living in my life, with the family, friends, neighbors, and so forth that I have to observe every day, in theory, I can believe that, but in practice, I'm sorry, I cannot, not given the experience that I am having, not given the resistance that I am seeing, not given the unwillingness on sizable numbers of people to really decide, you know what, I'm going to resist going to this and going to that because X, Y, and Z is the case, and all the occasions on which people are talking to people with the mask hanging down below they lip, the bottom lip, the amount of times I have seen it in public, and to think that you put thousands of students in an adult population do things, and it's okay for, because Omicron isn't all that bad, and they're going to be that sick, and that's okay? No, sorry. In theory, that's true. In practice, hell to the no. That's me, all right? In practice, I don't think it works. In theory, could it work? Yes, man. In theory, is it okay for children to go home with sniffles and have Omicron? Well, here's the thing. People are afraid and concerned. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen. Have you not heard the argument? I am not putting any vaccine in my system because I don't know long-term what it's going to do. I don't know what the side effects are going to be long-term, 10, 15 years from now. Okay. I give you that. But you know that Omicron don't make you all that sick, especially if you're vaccinated. But you know long-term what Omicron is going to do to your children. You know that. Of course you know that. You have all the data. You know that your child ain't gonna have some bust up clotting in their system because of Omicron. You already know that because you have lived 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now with Omicron. How you know that? So why would you take the risk if you don't know that? Why would you take the risk? Let me tell you something. I don't know if my youngest 13-year-old has had Omicron or what. All I know is he had a mild illness and he tested positive. But to be honest with you, I am concerned. I think about whether or not 5, 10, 15 years from now, he's going to have to contend with some effect of whatever he had. I am really concerned. I mean, I'm not going to fret about it because there's nothing I can do about it now. But I wish I could have prevented that. So the rationale ain't all that there for me. In theory, anything could work. In theory, you put something in an artificial lab and boy, you can make almost anything work. But in practice, where human beings who have to make decisions and who can be frivolous about making decisions and impact other people's lives, in practice, that's a scary proposition. Is this going to have a long-term impact on our children that you have kids who have been out of school now for a year? I definitely believe that it is going to have an impact, especially if there's no mitigation for them, especially their parents are incapable of providing some mitigation for them. Yeah, it's going to have an impact, but it's going to have the same impact as all the years of people in the Bahamas having had no schooling, like our grandparents and great-grandparents and them, and all of us are still here. So life doesn't necessarily end for them, but it's going to have an impact, and I think that impact is going to be negative, and that's not a desirable thing for us, but I'm not going to throw my hands up and panic about it. I'm sorry, I'm not. Let me tell you something. A child could do worse than getting a formal education. I can tell you that. You know what they could do, but they could miss out on? They could miss out on common sense, understanding, and wisdom, and decency. But Warren Buffett once said that if I had to hire an intelligent man with no character versus a charactered man with no intelligence, I would hire the charactered man without intelligence. He said, because a intelligent, wicked person is a dangerous soul to deal with. So while these children are absent the opportunity for that, in quote, great education in person they should have, nothing prevents us from giving them character education at home. Nothing prevents us from giving them the opportunity for picking up common knowledge and common sense at home. Nothing prevents us from encouraging their souls to be motivated toward higher achievement and motivated toward producing. Nothing prevents that, because nothing prevented it with far too many of our grandparents and great-grandparents whose parents encouraged them to be human beings of worth and value. So yeah, I think not having that in-person schooling is going to be have a negative impact, but it can have a greater negative impact if we sit our backsides down and don't supplement the rest of them with the good stuff that makes the difference. Do you know that the research says 80% or more of your success in life in the workplace is attributed to emotional intelligence, not ask what's his name who wrote the book, EQ, emotional intelligence quotient, Dr. Coleman. Ask him. 80%+ of your success in life and in the workplace is attributed not to academic intelligence, not to how much math you know, not to how much English you know, not to how much geography you know, not to how much chemistry you know. It is attributed to your emotional intelligence. Can you deal with yourself emotionally? Can you handle your feelings of sadness, grief, your feelings of anger, your feelings of love and happiness? Can you interact with other people in a socially responsible way? Those things aren't taught necessarily by our schools. In fact, the best place for it to be taught is at home, because it is at home where it's not taught as much as it is caught. So let's wake up and understand, right? We can mitigate some of that disadvantage by augmenting these children with the things that you don't require an iPad to do. You don't require a tablet to do. You don't require a computer to do. You just require the installation and the exhibition of that software within the human person called love. Texas, Mr. Nye, thank you so much for being balanced and not playing to any political parties or base. When you speak, you educate, sir, without fear or contradiction. Keep up the good work. You're indeed the best. Appreciate your kind words. Thank you very much. Says alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, chi, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, Upsilon, Phi, Chi, Psi, Omega. That's the whole Greek alphabet. Say, Nu and Chi, yes, were not used because Nu sounded like new and Chi is a popular word and surname. Yes, I explained that to people previously, but thank you again for reminding us. Yeah. So let's be careful, right? Let's be careful. We don't, I've learned this so often, that what we do is we trap ourselves in a binary mindset. It's either you do in person or you don't do in person schooling. And then we get trapped in the binary mindset. So if you do in person, the children are great. And if you don't do in person, the children are terrible. In fact, we have many children who have been doing in person for a long time, and we've said our education system has failed them. they went through the system, no Omicron, no pandemic. They went through the system, and we said the system sucks. They come into school and they're terrible. They can't read and they can't write and they can't calculate and they don't know how to socialize. They don't know. And so we killed the system before the pandemic. Now the pandemic drives the system to virtual reality, so that many of the kids who were disadvantaged before the virtual reality remain disadvantaged after the virtual reality, along with perhaps some others who were just teetering on the borderline. And the same set of children who were advantaged before the pandemic remain advantaged now. And we say, oh, the thing is going to go to hell. When we were missing some stuff to begin with, which is that our emphasis in our education system is slanted in the direction of the thing that isn't the 80% producer. Academic intelligence is not the 80% producer of the results we require in the world, but that's the 80% emphasis we put on the education system. Beyond, well, you look at the education system as structured for emotional intelligence development. Look at it. Well, maybe the education system ain't structured for it, but school homes used to be structured for it. How mommy and daddy related to each other was how children learned to deal with their issues. How mommy and daddy guided the children as they interacted with each other used to be how the children learned to deal with each other. How the children dealt with their neighbors and how the family and the parents dealt with their neighbors used to be how the children learned how to deal with neighbors and strangers. How they resolved conflicts at home was how the children learned to resolve conflicts. How they learned to express themselves openly, confidently, and respectfully was how they learned to do so. And children still come from the family islands, courteous, respectful, decent-minded people with generosity and good graces. And in our school, do that for them. And they don't have the brilliant, end quote, academic education these children say they have. Yet, the quality of their existence, the quality of their character is abundantly more potent. Straight A student learning up all of them periodic table, geometry, trigonometry, and all that kind of stuff. Let's stop missing the boat. If your children are not able to do schooling the way they should do it, structure the rest of their lives and so that they can augment and do that thing and strengthen themselves in that way so that they can be that much of a better person. We could do that. Your home, as challenged as it is with no job or limited job, with all the challenges of the poverty, is a cauldron of character building for your children. But they need guidance. They need to see you respond in a kind of way that satisfies their imagination and informs their brilliance. This is a great time. Listen, those of you who are Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist or what have you, listen, when you tell it. But this is a great time for the Christian family to manifest the virtues of the Christian faith in front of their children in this hardship. They can get that education. Goodness gracious me. You worried that they ain't gonna learn what a gerund is, what a verb or an adjective is. You're gonna worry that they might not learn how to do this algebraic expression or that algebraic expression. Okay, I get it. That's terrible. But can they not learn from you the meaning of gentleness, humility, of grace, of justice, of fairness, of love, of kindness, of patience? Can they not learn from you how to suck it up when insulted, offended, and how to handle the grief when it comes? Do they need a teacher in the classroom on Zoom to learn that? Absolutely not. God has blessed you with this grand opportunity. Can they learn money manners from you? Yes, they can learn money manners from you. So I'm sorry. I'm not joining no pity party about all of the challenges that what is happening is doing to us, because we have too many opportunities to do better things with our children and for our children. I can tell you one thing. I got a 13-year-old, and my wife and I focused in on how to get him there. And listen to me, man. Like, he was doing online through the U.S. system because he was in that for a while. And now we just signed him up for school, home, and it's supposed to be in person, but they can't be in person. So they're now doing classes online by Zoom. And now he's managing two systems for the time being, right? And we got to stay in there with him. But beyond that schooling, which I care about, well, I care more about his appreciation of why he's here on this planet, what he's here to do, more appreciation of his character and how he interacts with his family and with his friends, how he understands his worth and value in the world. I don't need no teacher to help me do that. I don't need no tablet to help me do that. I spend time with him. We play basketball, we ride together, we walk together, we talk. I lay down on his bed at night with him and talk with him about his hopes, his dreams, his fears, his concerns, his thoughts, and so forth and so forth. I don't need no tablet to do that. And I don't care that Omicron is around. I can do that anyhow. I'm not joining that pity party. I'm sorry. Life is what it is, and you got to deal with what you got to deal with. Teach these children, have some muscle, bro. Have some stamina, bro. You don't control all the crap that happens to you in the world. There, you know, he has a game, and I have a rule. We have a rule. You don't play any of your games on your phone or otherwise on school days, only on weekends. And the other day he missed. And he was doing it, and I took it from him. I'm trying to help him with his diet, and he got a slice of pizza his brother bought, and I took it from him. I told him, no, sir. And he cried. And, you know, he was crying while we were having dinner. What was our dinner? We were having meat and cauliflower. And he was crying, and, you know, his brother said to him, said, but why are you crying? He said, and this is what his brother said to him, so you're dealing with it. And that's what he said. He said, yeah, I'm just dealing with it. And so I don't mind him crying. I don't mind him acknowledging. I'm disappointed that I wasn't allowed to do what I was to do and cry about it. But what I do mind is that he deals with it and that he learns to deal with it. You know, pandemic could stop me from trying to help him get that lesson. I told him, listen, I'm watering the grass. But guess what? This is what you're going to do. You're going to get up early in the morning and water the grass. I don't need no pandemic to help me teach him that. Yeah, we are raising weak people because we are weak. Because we take these things that happen to us, and all of a sudden, if they don't happen the way we want them to happen, the world is coming to end. Nonsense. Man, I have watched documentaries of soldiers who have lost both arms, both legs in war. Soldiers who have had their face torn almost off in war. But for years, they have lived their lives in the adjusted circumstances and demonstrated the resilience of the human spirit. Teach that to your children in this pandemic and stop whining and crying about nonsense. You can, yes, be critical of things you observe that the government is or is not doing, that we are or are not doing. Sure, I don't have no difficulty with that, but don't let the lesson our children be that, listen, man, just get out there and whine about it and that's something. No, man, no. Suck it up and deal with it. Deal with it. Because the human person, the human brain is built for adaptation and adjustment, built for it. It's the plasticity of our minds, our brains, builds us for adaptation and adjustment. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us today. Sorry for my passion. Hey, I gotta bees. Who I gotta bees. God bless you, man. Mahaja Black is up next. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Free.